My name is Darren Hupke, and this is Pixels and Polygons, part of the Soundstone Network. Hey, welcome to another episode of Pixels and Polygons. It's a new week, new episode. Fun conversation you'll be able to hear after the break with my guest. I guess as usual, I say that every week, so I don't know if y'all have been disappointed and don't believe me, or just believe me and I don't need to say the same thing every week. I don't know. Well, new week, new episode, new guest, new question. You can skip ahead after the break if you'd like and jump right into it. But if not, I got some new announcements than the regular typical announcements up front. I have shirts available. So over on pixelsandpolygons.net, there are some shirt designs and, just like the logo, Pixels and Polygons logo, and some artwork with the mascots from the various retro game zine covers or just the standard mascots, Pixel and Polygon. But yeah, there's a bunch of color options and a bunch of styles that you may or may not like. I don't know. Check them out. But they are available. $20 for, I think, most of the designs. There's like a baseball style tee that's a little bit more. But yeah, that is new. Obviously, the Beat 'Em Up Volume 1 is still fresh. You can get that on my website as well over on pixelsandpolygons.net. That is also on Amazon. If you are listening and you live internationally outside of the U.S., the smart call would probably be to check your region's variant of Amazon, so like .UK or .CA or wherever it may be. And they will likely have cheaper shipping options for you. That's using their like print on demand kind of service type of thing. So that should be the easiest route to go if you want to pick up that book. Otherwise, Retro Game Zine still chugging along. We're up to the August issue. I believe this episode will release still in August. Yeah, so you should be okay there still with Blaster Master. Next month, we'll have the Mario Tennis issue, which was super fun to do. Couple contributors there had a good time playing through that game again. Played it way more than I anticipated playing it as well. But yeah, head over to patreon.com/DarrenHupke/shop to purchase any of those books or zines digitally. That is the digital storefront. Head over to pixelsandpolygons.net if you want to physically buy any of the books and now merch like shirts and such. And yeah, plugging away at the 32-bit library volume as well. Just got back from Long Island Retro Gaming Expo a couple weekends ago, and I'll be in Portland later this year at the Portland Retro Gaming Expo. And yeah, other than that, that's all the typical business stuff. So all that for you. After the break, join us back here and listen to the episode, and we will catch you all in 7 days. Bye.
Listen to Flashback 64, the chronological Nintendo 64 podcast. Hosts Gooey, McKenna, and friends flashback to the 90s and early 2000s with a look at the Nintendo 64's catalog and its contemporary cultural and historical context. Starting with the console's launch titles and proceeding in release order, we discuss classics like GoldenEye, Super Mario 64, and Star Fox 64, as well as some not-so-beloved games, lesser-known titles, and everything in between. Along with game-specific deep dives, we also cover other bits of pop culture from the time, like films, music, and more. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Uh, Welcome to Pixels and Polygons, a conversational podcast about video games. I am Darren Hupke. I don't think I need to say my name, actually. I say that at the start of the show. That's okay. I said my name. Now I'll say Nick McConnell's name. He is my guest on this episode. Welcome back to the show, Nick.
Thank you for having me. This is Nick McConnell. Thank you so much for having me. It is always good to be here and hang out and chat.
Yeah. You might be hearing Nick on the audio waves in the future as I badger him into trying out and doing something new. But maybe not, you know, who knows? But, if you want to hear Nick's voice in a, you know, regular manner and all that stuff, you know, send him a message on Blue Sky and tell him like, hey, we want to hear you on a podcast. That's your own. So, we can make this happen. Nick, what is, this will come out in the year of 2025. So we'll keep it 2025 related. Okay. What is a game coming out between now and like the end of the year that you're looking forward to? There might be a few, there might be none that you're kind of like, you know, but oh, what's one that maybe you're considering?
There's so many. I'll keep it, man, off the top of my head. There's so many. There's actually one that just came out. Can I say today? When we're doing a podcast that comes out later, if I say today, will the audience know that I mean the day that we're recording? I want to be, it's like the time gets so strange on podcasts.
Yeah, you can just say at the time of this recording.
At the time of this recording. Game. That's right. At the time of this recording, a game came out called Pipistrello, which I believe is Pipistrello and the Magical Yo-Yo, I believe is what it's called. It's from a developer called Pocket Trap and published by PM Studios. It's a gorgeous, like the pixel art is absolutely gorgeous. Kind of looks like a lost Game Boy Advance game, action adventure, sort of Metroidvania kind of game. I'm not doing a great job of explaining it, but I played the demo back at a Next Fest a few months back, and it just blew me away. So Pipistrello came out in late May of 2025 and is something that I'm really excited to have a chance to play. And then another one that's coming out, I don't know if it's for 2025, I believe it is, but it's from the developer of Elekhead. This one's called I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's O with an umlaut and then two more O's after it. And it's another sort of puzzle platformer game. If you haven't played Elekhead is a game that I suggest every single person in the world play. I think it's one of the best games ever made. And I'm stoked to see what he does with this game. So those ones. How about Donkey Kong too? Does Donkey Kong count? Can I say Donkey Kong Bonanza? That one looks pretty good.
I was going to say Bananarama, but it's Bonanza. Yeah, Donkey Kong Bananarama is a sequel. That's likely what's going to happen. That game does look fun. I'm not a big, you know, Nintendo or Switch, you know, pal or anything. I'm not against them or anything whatsoever. I just, you know, that's just not totally my jam. But when I first saw those like trailers and all stuff, like the deforming of like the land and like kind of like being able to like destroy, and I don't know, just something about that gameplay just looks like it could be really fun and really cool. And I like just like that new visual design for him and everything. It's kind of refreshing, like this Donkey Kong, and now giving him a chance to have like a cool new style like action platformer and still kind of feel separate from something like Kirby or Mario, but still be in that same kind of vein and everything. It's a really cool Nintendo way to just reinvent and rebrand, but still feel really like approachable to what the character is. So
absolutely,
I think that game looks great. I don't think I'll be getting a Switch 2 anytime soon, but that would be a game I would get if I got it on launch.
Yes, that is a game I'm looking forward to a ton. I lost my screen there for a brief second. Sorry about that. Looking forward to it a ton. I wasn't sure beforehand. You know, I'm a sucker. I'm not unbiased when it comes to Donkey Kong and Diddy Kong and those things, because I grew up on Rare, right? Like Rare N64 stuff. So for me, that version, Kev Bayless's version of Donkey Kong, is so part and parcel with some of what I love about it. And so I wasn't quite sure. I'm not going to be crazy about, like, if Nintendo wants to make a change to the character, it's not going to change who I am as a person, right? Like, that's not my entire personality. But I wasn't really sure. And I really like it. It's really expressive. And it maintains a lot of, I don't know, what I like about Donkey Kong, but it looks really just really physical. I want to say it's the same team that did Mario Odyssey. So if that's the case, it's going to be it's just going to feel really good. I think that's the thing I'm really excited to see is like, what will that team do with a character like Donkey Kong, kind of a heavier, more bruising character? So yeah, I'm excited. I'm not excited for how much money I'm going to be spending this year on video games, but once the money's gone and I'm enjoying the game, I'll be happy.
There you go. All right. Well, let's jump into some this or that's. This and or that's. No, actually, just or. You can't and it.
This and that.
This and that. Just pick both. I'm going to give you two things and pick both.
Say but yes to both.
let's go with digital or physical.
Oh, man. Physical. Physical.
So you've never downloaded a game and you prefer to drive to stores and wait in lines and make sure you're within store hours. And
when I went to Japan on vacation a few months ago, I think one of my lasting takeaways was I wish I could just always go to stores for stuff. I just want to grab the thing from the shelf. Never make me look at the internet again. It's done so much harm.
NBA Jam or Arch Rivals?
NBA Jam.
Yeah, I'm going to get rid of this question.
Does everybody choose NBA Jam?
Yeah, but it's the right choice. I mean, no one's going to really pick Arch Rivals over NBA Jam. I don't know. I was thinking maybe it would just lead to more like, oh, yeah, those games are, yeah. Deleting.
Arch Rivals is a great game. Right. Don't get me wrong. Arch Rivals is a great game, but NBA Jam looms so large.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I love me some jam. Handheld or TV?
Handheld.
Okay. Then Game Boy Advance or 3DS?
3DS.
3DS. Okay. Oh, yeah. Mario Tennis or Mario Golf?
Tennis.
Tennis, anyone? Oh, yeah. Let's do Nintendo Power or Game Pro?
Oh, boy. I'm going to go with Game Pro. I'm going to go with Game Pro.
Scary Larry and the Game Pro crew.
Scary Larry, Dan Electro, you got the crew. Absolutely.
Yeah. Bruised Lee. That was
yes.
One.
Yes.
Medieval or sci-fi?
So, sci-fi.
Okay.
No question. Get Medieval out of here entirely. That's not an either or. That's like we will get rid of Medieval and salt the earth, and I will stick with sci-fi.
So have you played a lot of like Total War games and stuff on PC?
No. Can I make an admission on this podcast right here? I've almost never played a PC game like on the computer. I am so console exclusive. The closest thing is that I play a bunch of games on my Steam Deck, but like I'm using that as a console. So no, none of that. Unfortunately, my knowledge has a real sharp drop off once we start getting into things like Total War or anything like that.
Yeah. I mean, I was not a fan. I haven't actually played any of them myself. I'm also a sci-fi over medieval person.
Yeah.
But, console through and through, like even to this day, but not because I don't think I had some interest, like, you know, as a kid, I always wished I had like a nice PC to play some of these things, but I was just kind of poor. And so it wasn't really happening. I had friends and family who did. So I did get to dabble in some like big PC games. But because I couldn't play those, you know, I would just find a console game. And then oftentimes you find those console games that are just not done or not popular or done well on PC anyway. So there's like, you know, there is definitely two different worlds out there. And there's so many great things, you know, I guess you could say on both, but there's so many great things on console that I'm never going to play all of those. So like, I'm not even worried about missing what I'm missing there. Cause there's so much, you know, on either side of the fence that, you know, you can find something to enjoy no matter what.
That's right. And especially, I think like the Steam Deck actually really blew that open for me. Two things actually blew that open for me. One, the ability, the increase in independent games getting to be put on consoles, right. Originally with like PlayStation 4 and stuff. And then the Switch and then the Steam Deck obviously is just wide open. I've just also never learned how to use WASD and a mouse for any sort of in-game movement. I tried to do it the other day for something at work and I was like, oh no, I'm good. Give me a controller. I gotta have a controller.
Where's the controller? So do you forget the controller somewhere around here?
It's like my most boomer coded, like absolute, just out of touch, get off my lawn sort of thing. But it's true. Give me a controller.
Last one, Shenmue or Yakuza?
Oh, Yakuza. But wait, Yakuza could not run if is that the phrase? Could not run if Shenmue didn't walk or crawl or whatever it is. I love them both. Yakuza is maybe one of my favorite series of all time, though, so it's a kind of a tough comparison.
Okay. All right. Well, then that leads me into the icebreaker then. I mean, you can select this as your answer here, but two-part question. First part is, what is one of your favorite games or franchises? And again, I know the episode topic is also going to tread in this water here, but just pick one of your favorite games or franchises and just let me know one of them now. It doesn't have to be the number one. It could just be, one you do it.
Let's just go with this. We're talking about Yakuza, Yakuza as a series, and Yakuza 0 in particular as a game.
Okay. Now give it a new title and you cannot use Yakuza.
Ooh. I'm going to call it Kamurocho Friendship Club because it takes place in Kamurocho, which I think is the pretend version of Kabukicho in Tokyo. And, it's about the fraught and strained, but genuine friendships of a number of characters who reside and live and play in Kamurocho. So Kamurocho Friendship Club, because ultimately that game and all the Yakuza games are games about friends and friendship.
And beating each other up, right?
Yes. Yes, that's one problematic aspect of some of the friendships is the physical violence. But aside from that, they all get up after, dust themselves off. They figure it out.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. That's a good one then. I love that question.
That's a fun one.
I'm just curious to know if anybody's going to like listen to it and like have it like already know, like, oh, I've heard this question before. I think I've surprised enough people with it. So
it's a good one. I like that question. Yeah.
So now we'll get in the main topic. Again, this is similar, but what is one of your least favorite games and one of your favorite franchises? So,
all right.
And then kind of tell us a little bit about that. Why?
This has gotten me into some trouble on the internet before, because I think it veers into hot take territory. It is not intended as a hot take. I mean it sincerely. I will preface it with this. It's a game in the Mario series, and as a game in the Mario series, I fully recognize that it's still actually quite good. But unlike the rest of the games in the Mario canon, I don't really enjoy it for one reason or another.
Is this going to be Sunshine? Okay, you don't have to answer.
No.
You still have more set up. Like a
That's it. I will say it is not Sunshine. I actually prefer Sunshine, in part because I think Sunshine's more interesting. Sunshine's not as good a game, but it's more interesting, so I enjoy it more. It's Super Mario World on the Super Nintendo.
What?
Uh-huh.
Hot take. This is a new episode. Hot take. Let's go. This is least favorite game in mm-hmm. one of your favorite franchises. One of the most mm-hmm. influential and important games ever. Mm-hmm. You've just not found a way to enjoy as much as literally every other human being on this planet.
That's right. That's okay. Right. So I think about why this is the case. The other one that I was going to say with this was Bowser's Fury. If we're looking for a 3D one, I have other reasons for just pretty much not enjoying Bowser's Fury. But Mario World to me is interesting because I've never quite been able to grapple with why I don't enjoy it all that much. I think there's a few things about it. And again, first, I think it's important to note that it is it's masterfully made for what it is. I don't have any, it's not like, oh, it doesn't work or the level design is bad or any of those sorts of things. There's just something about the game, the experience of playing it, that leaves me very cold and detached from it. It's not as, I guess I don't feel like the movement is as satisfying to master as Mario's 1 and 3. The challenge is a little bit less, I find, in some ways than those games as well. I really like the momentum aspect of Mario 1. Like, I think my favorite 2D Mario from a control standpoint is probably the original Mario. I like that you don't get as much control over it and you have to really sort of predetermine your movements with momentum and those sorts of things. I think that the game's framing, all these, donut places, all the food references, all that kind of stuff just feels very strange to me. That doesn't really work. It feels like it's trying to be quirky and funny, and it doesn't land for me. And then there's the music. And I think that this is maybe the actual core of it. I think that the music itself, if you were to take the music out of the game and put it on hardware that could make music sound good instead of the Super Nintendo, I think that you would have one of the best soundtracks of all time. However, this is not a visual medium, but Darren's face. If I don't make it out of this podcast alive, please call. Please check in. Wellness check. There's disbelief.
That's what this is.
And that's fair.
This is your question, though. Everybody's allowed to have their opinion. Everyone's allowed to have their thoughts. Everyone is allowed to have those feelings for this.
I'm kind of towing the line. Like, I do recognize that this is a beloved game. The sound, it just feels like every time I listen to the music on this game, from this game, I feel like I have a head cold. There's something about it. It feels like the noise is being squeezed through a small tube, and everything feels slight. And like it's being played, through like a carton of milk. And that, for whatever reason, really bugs me. I'm not as interested in the exploration aspect. I think I especially dislike the castle levels. The ghost houses is what I was trying to say. I truly dislike ghost houses in Mario games. And so, Mario World, just, I remember seeing, screenshots of it in an FAO Schwartz catalog before it came out and becoming extremely excited. I remember getting my Super Nintendo on Christmas morning, being extremely excited and booting it up and just never, ever quite clicking with it. So, that's the game. That's the one. All the other ones I feel like are either more technically and mechanically interesting, or they're quirky and weird enough that I'm interested in what they're going for. That's probably my least favorite in a series that I otherwise would die for. I mean, Mario's my favorite series, right? Like, that's very basic for me to say maybe, but Mario, Super Mario, is the game that got me into video games, and I will always drop everything to play the newest one. And that's the one where I always go back and I'm like, just not for me.
Okay. Now, I just need this to be defined specifically. This is your least favorite game in the Mario franchise, but on its own, like compared to like Boogerman or Bubsy 3D or,
great.
Like you would much rather play Mario World over those games.
Okay. So I think there's two questions there. I think one, is it a better game than those? No question. It's is it a better game than those? Absolutely. There's no way around it. I think I'd be more interested in digging into, so to speak, Boogerman.
It's a pick and flick adventure.
It's a pick and flick adventure. What was that? That was on the back of the box. They said two thumbs up all the way up to the knuckle. And again, not because it's a better game. It's not. But Mario World is an incredibly well-made video game. And I think maybe that's the problem that I have with it, is that it is incredibly well-made, and I find it antiseptic. Is maybe what it is. It feels like all the rough edges have been smoothed off.
But okay, that makes sense. I mean, I can understand. And again, I guess you can probably find some really. I even play I don't want to say subpar games, but I'll play all types of games. And if it's not a AAA masterpiece, I don't just shut it off and move past it. I will still play something and try and find that interesting mechanic or if I'm still able to be entertained, even if it's a 7 out of 10 type of thing, I'll still stick with it. So I guess, playing a Boogerman or playing, a Bubsy or something like that, like you can probably still play those games and find entertainment and find joy in things. And if Mario World is like this game trying to be this game to you, and you're just you're not seeing it, not feeling it. Like, yeah, you're just not gonna dabble with it. You've gotten a taste for what it is, and it's just not gonna be that thing for you. And that's okay, I guess. Yeah. Okay.
And I've beaten it, right? I've played it all the way through. And I would say this, like, if somebody were saying, hey, you know, you can show your kid a game. Like, if they were like, hey, show your my daughter, like, you know, a video game, and your choices are Boogerman or Mario World, right? You know, I'm choosing Mario World, and I'll probably choose Mario World over most things, honestly, just because it is such a clear example of, like, mastery in a lot of what it does. It just, for me, doesn't feel that interesting. But yeah, I mean, for sure, like, it's one of those things where whenever I say that, I know it's sort of a hot take, and I know people are like, oh my God. It's just, yeah, it's a weird thing. And some of it may also just be when it came out, when I was growing up, where I was at. You know, I'd gotten, like, my friends had Sega Genesis. Maybe I was just at a stage where my interests lay slightly elsewhere. And so I never wound up getting that kind of that hook, right? Like, it never, like, quite hooked me at that age, and so I don't have that same connection with it. I will say this, and maybe this is too much for one episode, I sort of feel the same way about Link to the Past.
Yeah, this is too much for one episode. We it's just over. Nick's final episode of Pixels and Polygons. Great having you here. See y'all later. Bye.
That's right. It might be a Super Nintendo thing, maybe even more than a Mario thing.
So ultimately. Can I share a borderline hot take-ish thing about both those two titles as well, but I do want to underscore the fact that I think Super Mario World, it, to me, is one of the best in its series. I mean, if we're just cutting it off of 2D to 3D, like, mm-hmm. I want to say it's in the tops for me, in, like, the 2D space. But much like your previous episode you were on, however many weeks ago it was at the point of posting this, the iteration of games and like, not patching things, we had that conversation, but to me, Nintendo has always reinvented themselves with every version of their mainline games. They found, like, they weren't answering and responding to the public's opinion or the public's response to the previous game to influence the design of the next. They were like, you know what, this is what we want to do, and we're just going to make sure we make this great so that the fans enjoy it for what it is, not because what they expect it to be, and that's what we're following that thread. So my hot-ish take, my lukewarm take, I think both Link to the Past and Mario World are iterations of some of their best games and not those independent standalones like they are. So you almost have to kind of, like, I don't want to say fault them, but, like, Mario 3 is, like, a nearly flawless game. And I think Nintendo saw that and saw the Super Nintendo and thought, you know, similar even mechanics, like the P-speed underlying, like the flight and verticality to some of the levels, the varying lands and bosses and things like that. Like, there was, like, a thread that you can kind of see through from 3 to World. And while World, I think, on pound for pound and, like, everything on paper, you can tell that it was better than what 3 did. Which one is better, 3 or World? You know, like, I mean, I can almost sometimes say, like, the other one that I fight with in my brain is, I think, Super Mario 3 being the best Mario, 2D Mario game over World. So, yeah, and same thing, Link to the Past, like, compared to the original, it's almost, is this them, like, hey, if we had a redo, if we can take that same design concept and that design document that we had for that game, and let's do it now on this new hardware, you know, like, what will this be? And there was, like, such a connective tissue between the two. Is it a better game to me? Yes. But is it still iterating on that and not reinventing that or reimagining or, like, completely removed from that, you know? So I don't know what my hot take is within that and if that is upsetting to anybody, but those are thoughts I've had, and I'm just speaking them out loud on my platform.
Now there's no take backs. I think that's fair. I mean, I think that's exactly fair, and actually probably articulates part of what I feel about Mario, about those two games, that I haven't quite connected. That it is sort of a, and again, this is very reductive. So if anybody is listening, like, I have nothing but respect and admiration for the people who made those games, for people who make video games in general. It's an unbelievable. So, you know, saying, so for me saying, like, it's iterative, like, it doesn't, I don't intend that to discount any of the incredible work that the teams have done. But yeah, I think for me, it does maybe make them slightly less interesting, slightly less surprising, when it's done that way. And I hadn't really thought about it that way. I say that now, but then I also think that maybe my favorite 3D Zelda is, Twilight Princess, and that's super iterative. So maybe, I don't know, maybe not, but yeah, it's an interesting thing. I will say my list, if I may, of Mario games, my ranking of the 2D Mario games, because there is a split, right? I think there's a big split, is Mario 2 is number one. Mario 2 USA. I think I just have
It's not even a Mario game, and you're putting out number one Mario game.
I think I have a really strange relationship with Mario, maybe. Mario 2 is my favorite. Then probably Mario 1, then Mario 3, then maybe Mario, then like the first new Super Mario Brothers on the DS, which I love. I feel like the new Mario games, the new Super Mario, quote unquote, get like a little bit of a bad rap because they became really iterative. But like, there's some good stuff in there, and especially that first one is super good. Then that one, then, you know, then Wonder and all the other new Super Mario's, and then Mario World, kind of down there at the bottom, I guess. I actually can't say that for sure because I haven't played some of the new Super Mario sequels. So you know, there's a little bit of a blind spot there.
I'm in a similar boat. My list, if you want to just invert your list, that's my list for
basically
Mario.
Okay.
Yeah, that's kind of it. But that's cool. That's an interesting thought and interesting exercise, interesting discussion for sure. You helped me understand your train of thought there. You know, it wasn't, you know, as much as I was reacting in a way that it felt hot take E. You clearly articulated what and why, and I have a complete understanding and even align with what it is that you shared and said. So that's the reason why we ask the questions and the reason why we have the conversation. So
and this is why video games are so fun, right? Like, this is why video games are so cool, is you can come away from one with a completely different experience from someone else. Even on something that's, you know, largely universally beloved, like there's so many different aspects to it too, right? Like the actual gameplay, there's some of those, but there's also just the time and place, right? Like, you know, where was I during this time and place? Does that impact how I view the game? Does the game, you know, hit me in a different way because like of who I was at the time and my experiences at the time? And you know, I will say too, maybe this is too much, that game also came at a time of big change. I changed schools right around the time that the Super Nintendo was coming out, and so maybe there's some of that in there too. You know, like those, like the anxiety of becoming a, you know, third grader at a new school, is, you know, who knows. So so I love it. So I will say this, I'm grateful for the opportunity to come in here and share, I guess, another atrocious take.
Hashtag not my Mario, you know, there we go. Well, thanks a lot, Nick. Catch Instruction Derby on Twitch every Wednesday at noon Pacific. Links will be in the show notes below. Follow him on Blue Sky as well. I'll also have the handle there below. But super fun. Always happy to have you on here. We'll definitely need to come back together soon. This will not be your last episode. Yeah, you're welcome anytime. Anything else you want to say before we wrap the episode for this week?
Nah, I love the show. I'm so grateful to be here. And just I'll see you around. I don't have anything else to pitch, but man, this is a lot of fun. Thanks for this.
All right. Well, thank you, Nick. Have a good rest of your day.
You too.
Hello, we are Kirby Conversations, a podcast on Kirby, along with other adjacent subjects like Smash Brothers, HAL Laboratory, and other related Nintendo games.
In each episode, we take an in-depth, well-researched look at a Kirby topic, drawing on our decades of experience playing Kirby games, creating Kirby-related content, and working in and around the video game industry. I'm Sean Douglas. I'm a theater and video game journalist.
And my name's Bridget. I'm an online Kirby commentator and collector.
Our team also includes photographer and Nintendo ambassador Kai, Captain Dangerous Parker, and Gigi, the editor-in-chief of Wick Kirby. Join us for deep dives into Kirby's history, interviews with industry professionals, and even inside looks at Nintendo, as together we explore all things Kirby and HAL Laboratory. You can find Kirby Conversations on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.